Yes. What? San Francisco. Well, I'm living, I live in the city, but I'm not contemplating moving into San Francisco. In fact, I'm trying to buy some land down there, move out of the country. But I've been in the city for a long time. But I guess you're, I'm sort of guest toward the University of California, Santa Cruz. And I think, I like it so much, I think I'm moving down there. Yeah?
If you were not a boy, what would you do? Would you desire to live?
Well, I don't know. I'm a sort of protean man of the arts. That is, I'm very fond of the visual arts. And the fact, apart from the fact that I can draw, and I have no acquired skills in it, I do a lot of collage and a lot of graphic and design work. And I also worked in the theater for years. I worked professionally as an actor for many years. But I don't like the life of the theater, that's all. The fact that you have to keep moving and go from one company to another and you're not staying place. The employment conditions in the theater are not very good. Unless you're very much at the top and you can write your own thing. Yeah.
If that's so, what are employment conditions as a poet?
Well, they're better. They're getting better all the time. Obviously, the poet doesn't make any money in America by selling poems. That's a fact. But there is a good deal of interest in the universities for readings and for guest lectureships and things like that, so that you can scrape by. At least I can. I mean, this is very nice, as we say, this is a very nice gig right here. I've been here for 3 days, very pleasant, they're paying me well, they take care of me, they feed me, they loan me a car, and Friday I'm going to the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque and read there, and then I'm going home again. Actually, a lot of the poets who are fairly good readers are now able to make a passable living giving readings or holding workshops 2 or 3 months out of the year around the country at the university. So while it's not, we don't get rich at it, it's not bad.
Survival anyway.
It's not bad. We get to talk to all you, too, which is fun. Yeah.
We have an impression that there's a great deal of activity that has been for some time in Central Europe and poetic activity, Central Europe and Russia. We can't get to Shenko as the architect of how they had the football stadium convenience. Now most of this has a political input. You see the activity that has come to the surface in the last, as you mentioned, 7 hours, restaurant and everything. You see this as being political?
Part of it is. I would say, for example, that a large share of the following that Lawrence Ferlinghetti has, that Allen has, Allen Ginsberg, and that Gary Snyder has, in fact, they get tremendous crowds out, that a very good sized share of that doesn't have very much to do with poetry so much as it does with their public stands on issues where they've taken a very leading position. Gary Snyder on the whole question of ecology, and Allen Ginsberg on a whole number of issues, and homosexuality, Gulf War, everything. And Ferlinghetti, overtly political from an anarchist point of view. And I do think that there's been a lot of identification between the poets of this generation or my generation who are reading with the new student movement. Although we don't necessarily subscribe to any particular point of view, still we're part of it in that sense. So I do think there has been, that's part of the audience which has been coming up. Because there's been close relationships between most of the poets and at least the anti-war struggle and the libertarian struggles and things like that. What are your own views on that?
Well, I'm curious if you think that about the role of politics and poetry.
Well, the person to ask that of is Robert Bly, He's really been combining them both tremendously, much more than I do. I mean, I'm not, I can't write political poetry to order in a sense. It doesn't work. Once in a while, I write political poems. That's not usual. But Robert has done an immense amount of, political propagandizing and poetry writing of a new type, which frequently works very well in the last 10 years. Well, that's not a satisfactory answer, but I'm not the person to really ask, because all I can do is my own opinion.
You don't view it as, you don't feel uneasy about it.
Well, I don't feel uneasy. No, I think that every poet, every artist has to take a stand in some way on the issues of the day. I don't feel at all uneasy about it, as long as we don't breed the type of mentality that some people want, whereas, you know, everything's got to be written to prescription. I think it's quite natural and to be expected that we should write a certain amount of political poetry. Why not? It's part of American life. If we start writing it according to propagandistic scriptures or formula, then that's different. It usually disappears as poetry. But if we write about American life, obviously we're going to write about some of the major political problems that we face. Certainly the question of the war. How can we escape it? And I don't feel uptight about it at all, believe me. I'm quite happy to write political poetry when it comes to me. It doesn't come to me very often, because the quality of my particular imagination doesn't really lie in that direction. But I do once in a while, and I really respect those people who can do it well, like Robert Bly. I think he does it very well, by and large. And I think Allen Ginsberg does it very well, too, frequently. Yeah.
Do you think that Pablo Neruda's later, more or less political poetry is imaginatively more powerful than his earlier non-political poetry?
No. I think Pablo Neruda's early poetry was better, there's no doubt. But then, I think that a great deal of Neruda's middle period poetry, I think maybe he's getting out of it a little now, was written according to political formula. And that he tended to suppress his earlier poetry simply because the Communist Party of Chile or his friends in the USSR didn't approve of it. And I think that's a great mistake. And I think that it, in Neruda's case, it led to a lot of poetry, which was where the politics came first, the imagination second, and I think that was not good. I'm not in favor of that. But that Neruda should be a communist or a radical in Latin America seems the most natural thing in the world to me. If I were in Latin America, I'd probably be spending more time in politics than I would be in poetry. Perhaps. Who knows?
Your position is different from Robert Bly's, who believes that as Neruda began to write political poetry, he got stronger and stronger.
If that's Robert's position, I never heard him talk on it, but if that's his position, then my position is different.
Yeah. In the Neruda edition.
Yeah, I think the earlier Neruda is much better. Well, I think the only one of those political poets who really solved the question of the imagination and the politics very well is Cesar Vallejo. And that's the point is that most of the politicians can't understand what Vallejo is writing about anyway. Even though he was a member of the Peruvian Communist Party and died in Paris as a great supporter of the Spanish Republican Army and so forth. Yeah.
Who do you think are the most promising new young poets today?
Well, obviously the ones I publish. I don't know. There are a lot of them. It's hard to say. I mean, look at Kayak and you'll see the ones that I think. I think Dick Shelton here is a promising young poet. Here he became acquainted with the poetry of Michael Cuddy over there. I think it was extremely good. It's a print of it. And there's poets all over the country, you know, like Bill Knott and people like that, who are extremely promising. Anybody else? Yeah.
You were
connected
with the theater and you
wrote
plays.
Yes, I've written 6 or 7 plays. I've had a lot of plays to do. At one time, that was all I was writing. Well, they're in print in things like First Stage, which has the scripts of them, and several various magazines, but not in book form. I was very seriously writing plays for a long time, mostly for production of the San Francisco Theater. I had several of them done at the Actors Workshop, Interplayers, and other places in San Francisco. And then they've been done in a lot of university theaters around the country. But I haven't written a play in 7 or 8 years. Yes?
Do you write at all? program in the same way that your poetry does? I'd be so realistic in that.
Not one of them is, but most of them are not. Most of them are satirical comedy. I wrote Faust, things like that. Yeah.
To what extent do you think the dramatic background is such a poetry? I know
a lot, obviously.
I can sense it in the reading.
I think in the poetry too. I think two things that I know: my dramatic background and the impact of certain types of cinema have unquestionably had. I mean, I find myself very, very simpatico and very close to a lot of modern cinema. And I think all of us have been affected by it, all of us who write. I don't see how, for example, you can go through periods of, you know, you can go through Sinkholes or any one of half a dozen Amos Bergman and people like that without being affected by it. There's been a great interplay between various forms of the art with the cinematic technique. And I really think, of course, I would probably prefer to be a filmmaker than anything else if I had the money and the background. I think it's the distinctive art form of this particular effort. It's where a lot of the frontiers are. But it takes a lot of money, it takes techniques, it takes cameras and things like that. But not for me. But I'm unquestionably influenced by it, just as I've been influenced by Kafka visually, and a lot of people in the field. Yes?
Could you be a little specific about the film that struck you as extraordinarily effective? You mentioned Bergman.
Well, I mentioned Bergman. I'm fairly Catholic in the films that I really like, but they inspire me poetically. I certainly think for years of Orfeu and the Blood of the Poet of Cocteau. I certainly think of films like Eight and a Half of Fellini's and of Louis Buñuel, of Veridiana, not just Belle du Jour so much, but some of the earlier things and the surrealist ones he did about the dog and the dog of Andalusia. And the whole experimental film movement, which we're in contact with, and we see a lot of it, perhaps more than they do here. And then things like last year, Marion died. Films of this type, where the impact of French and Spanish surrealism is really displayed visually, you know, in a way which is almost inescapable. I'm sure that I don't say that they've had a conscious effect on me, because when I sit down to create a poem, I'm not thinking about them at all. I'm just saying they have certainly gone into the shaping of my own culture and my own views a great deal. I feel very much at home, not only in the theater, but particularly in the theater of the miraculous, the theater of magic, the theater of poetry, rather than the theater of Arthur Miller or realism, what have you. That's the theatrical tradition out of which I come, and which has had, I'm sure, a big impact on my poetry and on all my writing. All right. Good night.
Yeah. south of Sonoya.
Know where that is?
No. Well, he doesn't get up often. He might be up Monday. He'll certainly be here Wednesday for the program, but he might be up Monday.
Maybe he can get up for that.